And now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker, Kim from Hanford.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kimberly. I'm an alcoholic. May 5th, I celebrated my 5-year birthday. And it certainly wasn't easy to come by, by far. I don't know. For me, I grew up in an alcoholic home. And so throughout my life, I grew up looking up to the disease of alcoholism, thinking it's what I wanted to aspire to be. The whole chaos of everything. Both my parents are alcoholic and addicted to other substances. And so our household was always just really chaotic. So I grew up with a lot of insecurities, a lot of alcoholism before I ever picked up the drink, I guess. Of course, throughout my childhood, I would drink with the people that were at my house, up all night playing dominoes. I would go around the table and, you know, they would give me the beer or whatever they were drinking, and I would drink it, and it was cute. It was cute to my family to see that. And it made me feel different. You know, the moment that alcohol touched my lips, you know, and I felt a head change, I felt like free from that fear, free from that anxiety, free from that insecurity of the instabilities, of the fear of, you know, my parents getting arrested or a fight breaking out of my house or my parents getting into it, because it was a very abusive home. It was a toxic place to grow up in. So as time went on, you know, my grandparents kind of took me in. Things were getting too crazy with my parents. My dad was doing his own thing, so my grandparents primarily raised me. I started to straighten out. Things were going good for a while. You know, I started getting my esteem and started doing good in school. And then my mom went to prison, and the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, I want to drink. I was about 14, 15 around that time, and I wanted a drink to get fucked up. I wanted a drink to get drunk, to not feel, to not think, to just get lost, to black out, you know? So immediately, I believe that's when my disease started for me. I drank every day from that point forward, you know? I started hanging around with everyone else that did the same things I did, that wanted a drink just as much as I did. And I continued to do that for a very long time. Of course, other substances are also part of my story. Got involved with that. It was anything that I could do to just feel, to not feel. If it was going to help me drink more, I was going to do it. If it was going to just take the edge off, if it was just going to change my mood, if it was going to give me some type of head change, anything, I would do it. And for a long time, I stayed out there. I ended up getting kicked out of my house, dropped out of school. My family that was present, my grandparents mainly, you know, tried to do interventions on me. Of course, that didn't work for me. I'm a hard-headed alcoholic. So, of course, I kept running and kept doing my own thing for a lot of years until I got arrested. I got arrested for under the influence and was put on probation and, of course, continued to drink and use. You know, the next time I got busted, it was for possession of sales. And that time I violated probation, so they gave me prison. I was 18 at that time. And they gave me 2 years with the N number. And I ended up doing the N number. And surprisingly, the N number was about the program. I learned a lot about it. I wasn't really feeling it. I wasn't trying to quit. I was still 19. I still wanted to drink. I still wanted to do my thing. I wasn't even 21 yet. In my brain, I was like, well, I haven't even got a chance to buy alcohol legally. You know, I haven't had a chance to go out and get into the bar. I haven't had a chance to go into the club. I haven't experienced none of that. But I'll do this program. You know, I'll do what's asked of me. I'll do what the courts are asking of me. So I went into a treatment center as I was being released from prison. You know, they used to transition us into halfway homes at that time, and You know, I would be in my little recovery home, you know, doing what they asked me to do, but running my own program still, not really taking it seriously, not following directions, still deviating and just lying, sneaking in cell phones, sneaking out of the home, sneaking back in, because I knew I would get violated, and just that whole, the whole character defect, you know. But then it's like life became exciting because I was doing something wrong, you know, and I also had those defects going on, you know, those things that wanted to be defiant, that wanted to be go against the grain, I guess, go against the authority. I was just like an angry kid ever since everything with my family. So I continue to do that, you know, and I did try, you know, when I got out of the homes, I did try to come to meetings and reach out to, you know, the people that are in AA, that are doing AA, that's really working their programs. I tried to come around after that, you know, but I just still wasn't there. I just wasn't there. I wasn't ready. I couldn't fully give my whole heart and do this thing. And I knew that that's what it was going to take. But along the way, you know, seeds were being planted. You know, for me, along this way, going through all these processes, the seed was getting planted. I started meeting people that the program was working for them. And in the back of my mind, I started thinking, like, why couldn't that work for me? You know, maybe I can do this thing. You know, I would see other people in the home that I would live in, and I see their lives changing and them getting their kids back. I didn't have kids at the time, but, you know, I seen their lives changing, them getting their kids back, them getting jobs, them looking better, healthier, you know, looking, having things, you know, because for me, you know, I would have things and lose them like day to day because of my life, you know, it was so crazy. But I started thinking, like, why, maybe this will work for me, but something inside myself, my esteem maybe, not really believing that I deserve to be sober, that I deserve to have that good life, always kept me just going backwards, like fear. Fears were there, you know, fears of success, fears of failure, fears of change. Because I was so used to the whole lifestyle that came along with the drinking and using. And so I continued to use. I went back out. I stayed out there a while until, you know, I got a violation. And I went back to prison, of course. There I'm back in the program again at CRC. Had to go through the whole in-treatment program as of release from prison. And this time I went to Hanford, and at that time I was like, okay, you know what, it's kind of getting old here, you know what I mean, like, is this going to be my life, like, this, my drinking has taken me this far, like, am I going to stop or am I going to continue, like, what am I going to do here, because now I've already been in prison twice, you know, over drinking violations, dirty tests, drinking in the program, you know, all of it, you know, and, so I decided to ask someone to be my sponsor. I was 21 at the time. The sponsor that whom today is my sponsor. And she told me no. She told me no. So, of course, out of resentment, she knew I wasn't done. You know, out of resentment, like, forget this program. You know, forget this. Like, how is she going to tell me no? Like, meanwhile, I'm sneaking in and out, getting tequila snuck in the program for me, and having all these late night visits, and sneaking in and out, and deviating, you know? And so I continued to do that. I continued to just do that then. I ended up using pills in the program, and someone snitched on me. And of course, how could she snitch on me? You know, it's her fault, not mine. I wasn't doing anything wrong. It was all her. Like, forget her, you know? I ended up having to go back to prison again for the third time. Got out, had to do the whole thing again. And by that time, you know, I became more willing. At that time, I became more willing because it wasn't like it was the first time I got out. The first time I got out, I had my family have me hooked up with all my clothes, with all my cell phones, with all my stuff. But every single time I would mess back up and do all this, it got less and less and less. And I didn't have that family support anymore. I didn't have anyone to fall back on to enable me, anyone to co-sign my stuff, anyone to allow me to, you know, to feed into my addiction. And so I, out of those reasons is why I tried to do the program again, this, you know, for the third, fourth time. And it worked for a little bit. It worked. I finally got a sponsor. I went through the NA way because I didn't want to admit I was alcoholic yet. And I thought I could somehow get through it and maneuver, but that didn't work either because I ended up drinking. And I had a kid along the way whose father wasn't in his life. And I continued to stay out there and had numerous DUIs. I had like one DUI out of Fresno, came back to Visalia, got arrested again, and this time I got a DWI, and they were trying to get really, really stick me with a lot of time. One night I was driving home, and I had a couple drinks, and I was driving, and I stopped at a stoplight. I ran into the intersection, another car hit me, and they got injured, and I went to jail. And 2 weeks later, while I was in jail, the person died, and they tried to, they were charging me with vehicular manslaughter, but they bumped it up from my priors to a 187 as the vehicle being my weapon, and I was devastated. I thought it was over. I thought it was done. Like, there's no more freedom for me, you know. They were trying to give me like 15 or 25. They didn't even want to give me no strikes. They were just trying to get me with all this time. And I was still blaming everybody. I was still blaming my family. I was still blaming the court. I was still blaming the people around me, you know, not really taking any responsibility or accountability for myself, you know. I stayed in there for 6 months. And during that time is when I started going to meetings while I was in jail. H&I is such a special thing for me because H&I was the reason why I came to the program. Even in there, I had to look at it like, you know what, just because I'm in a place, a controlled place, doesn't mean that I'm going to run my own program. I have to surrender. I have to give it over. I can't just be in this controlled place and it's like a little safety net, you know, but I had to still do my program. I had to find something other than myself because what I was doing wasn't working. And so I started going to meetings, and I believe that was the time when I finally gave up. It was during that time. And I had before, every time I was in the back of that police car, I did, you know. But there was just something different about this time that made me completely, utterly, defeated. You know, I knew I was an alcoholic at that point. I couldn't deny it anymore. I knew that that I had a problem and that it was affecting me and I needed help. So I gave it to God. I fought my case in there for 6 months, and eventually, by the grace of God, there was a police officer that used to knew my family. Wrote a police report to my family that said that the guy didn't die from the collision, that he died of natural causes. So they lifted they dismissed the 187 off of me. And at that moment, I knew, like, okay, God, like, this is you doing something because I gave it to you. You know, in that cell on that night, I gave it to you, and I said, whatever it is, I'm going to trust you. And for some reason, it didn't turn out that way. And so I knew, like, that, you know what? There must be something else. That gave me hope. That gave me hope, like, maybe there is going to be an opportunity or light to another day, another chance to do this thing right. Because by that time, everybody was tired of hearing my shit. Everybody was tired of me making all my promises. Oh, I'm going to go to the program. I'm going to do right when I get out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I promise I'll be right back. Let me just use your car. I'll pay you back. All of this stuff. You know, and they were tired of me already, you know, and I was tired of myself, you know. I was really tired of that, of letting, seeing the disappointment in my family's face, or my loved ones, my friends, every single time I disappointed them and betrayed them, and how they lost a little bit of respect for me every single time I would do that. That's what killed me. And so I did my time. I ended up getting 2 years with half time. Got a new number, so now I'm a true felon, and you know, I went and did my time. I had 6 months, so I did my time. I went to meetings in there, but I did drink in there, because I'm an alcoholic. I'm powerless. You know, I'm powerless, and I did. I drank. I would make my own little prunos. I would always have one cooking when I was drinking my other one, and so I would always have my drink, you know, and that's how I got through my time, you know, and I say that to say that that's how the disease is. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't give you exception. If you know, I was powerless. It wasn't in my power, and I needed a power greater than myself to restore me, to keep me sober. And when I got out, you know, that's the first person I called was my sponsor, who I had asked. And at that time, things weren't clicking right on the same page with her, so I asked someone else. Because I wasn't going to wait this time. I learned that lesson the first time. I wasn't going to get a resentment. I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to find a different one. You know, I really wanted her, but, you know, because she understood me. I tried to find similarities. And I finally found a sponsor. I committed to going to 90 meetings in 90 days. I went to 2-3 meetings a day. I did my 90 and 90. I listened to what my sponsor said, no matter how badly she irritated me. And she irritated me bad. I was always a defiant person. Like, any authority, it was just like, she really, but I listened to her. You know, she put me on blackouts from sharing for like 2 weeks at a time. She made me reach out and call people. Like, she asked people for numbers and like text these people that I didn't even know, but I didn't know what she was doing for me. You know, I didn't know that during that time, you know, I was learning how to get outside of myself. I was learning how to get outside of my comfort zone. I was learning how to fellowship and meet people. It wasn't about me. I needed support. It was me asking for help every time I asked somebody for their number. It was me asking for help every time I was having a moment and I had to call somebody. Calling a perfect stranger when you're going through something in the first 90 days isn't easy. You know, but that's what built me. That's what built my foundation, and I continued doing that. Of course, even in my sobriety, I could be a little defiant, and my first sponsor fired me. But you know what? I wasn't going to let that stop me. I had to keep going. I wasn't going to throw it all away. I was scared. I thought I was going to go back out, because at that time, she was my higher power. You know, she was the one that was everything, a God to me, you know, and I was afraid I was going to get high or drunk or something, you know, and I asked the sponsor I wanted again, and this time she finally said yes, so I knew I was fine after that. And with this sponsor, the reason why I point that out is because working the steps, I had to find someone that could relate to me, to my character defects, to that hard exterior, those rough edges, that understood that part about me, that could help me get overcome those things. And if I picked a soft little sponsor, oh yeah, you know, working your first step, that wouldn't work for me. I needed someone that's going to be hard on me. I need someone that's going to tell me the truth and tell me the way I need to hear it. And she did that for me, and I'm grateful for that. Over the course of my of my steps, you know, I got to really let go of all that childhood stuff, of all of the insecurity, the resentments, resentment towards my family, resentment towards my parents, resentment towards the institution, the police, the institution, just everything. I finally got to sort through that in my fourth and fifth step, and I still wasn't, like, accepting of the God thing yet. I just struggled a little bit with the whole spirituality of this whole thing. I didn't know what to believe in at first. I didn't know how to identify, or I didn't have a picture of what my higher power was to me, you know, and they kept telling me, keep coming back. It's okay. You could still stay sober. You know, just keep coming back. It'll happen with time. Try to pray, you know, get on your knees and just thank him. Ask him to keep you sober in the morning, you know, at nighttime, get on your knees and thank him that you stayed sober. And over time, doing those little things, that little third step prayer, you know, the sixth and seventh step prayer, over time, saying those little things helped me to have that connection with the power greater than myself. It took a little bit of time for me. And I got to really get honest about my character defects, my lying, my cheating, my deviating, my manipulating, my all of my bullshit, you know. And I finally got to address that too. And for me, that was the most freeing part, because, you know, then I was able to start peeling back that onion, like they say, and I started to see, like, that I was more than just that. That I'm more than just an alcoholic. That I'm more than just someone that got high and went to prison. I'm more than just a felon. I'm more than just, you know, I'm not damaged. You know, I'm not just an angry person. You know, I'm not just a resentful person. I'm not just bitter. I'm not those things. You know, and going through those steps, the 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, you know, those are the ones that have helped me, like, realize, like, wow, like, I'm the one doing this. It's not even them. It's not even my dad. It's not even my mom. It's me. And that's when I got to get honest and make an apology to a lot of these people. A lot of apologies. Some were financial apologies, you know, making amends financially. Most of them were living amends. And because they were tired of hearing me say I'm sorry, because I've said it so many times that I had to commit to showing them and not doing the same shit even in my sobriety to them. I couldn't keep lying to them even though I was sober. That didn't give me a pass. I still had to stay honest. I still had to be there when I said I was going to be there. I started becoming more accountable. I didn't know none of this. All I knew was my little rough self, you know, that had to survive. But I learned over time how to be accountable, how to have esteem for myself, how to respect myself when it came to men and relationships. I learned how to be a mother to my kid in these rooms, because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing out there. I was messing it up, you know, and it was really bad. And for me, going through those 6, 7, and 8, and 9, you know, really was a humbling experience for me to admit that I was wrong and that I was sorry. You know, that if you could forgive me for the things that I've done, and taking responsibility felt good. And I kept doing that, you know. And then 10, 11, and 12 for me was just like the icing on the cake, I guess. Because that's what fills me up, even to this day. My 10, 11, and 12, when I'm able to sit here and take my own inventory instead of someone else's, when I'm able to walk into a room and not really feel insecure, or look at the next person, like, trying to, like, point out what they're doing wrong, because I was famous for that, because I was the one that was insecure. I got to finally take my own inventory. And now, you know, that honesty began to really come to me. You know, it was really a struggle to get to that honesty that I used to see other people in meetings share about. I used to look up to all these faces like and think, God, how are they so honest? How can they just come in here and tell on themselves? Like, and admit these things. I didn't understand it until I worked the rest of the steps. As I worked the rest of these steps, you know, I realized how freeing it is to admit, I fucked up today. You know, I went off on her, you know, or I need to make an amends here, or, you know, seeking my higher power, you know, and asking Him, you know, like being able to have that conscious contact with Him today, where today I get answers from my higher power. I wait until the answer comes. I give it to Him. I pray. I wait until I hear it, either at a meeting or till I hear it at church or wherever, from somewhere. And until I feel that peace and I know what I need to do, I know that God's directing my path today. And I'm grateful for that. And the best part of this whole thing is being able to share it with others. Because everyone in this room, I have been exactly where everyone in this room has been. I really don't think that there's anybody in this room that has been anywhere that I haven't. And I'm really grateful to be here today to share with you guys that this program works. Like, that it worked, how it worked for me. How, from one moment to the next, like, it's like 5 years came and I'm just like, where did the time go? You know, because I just had to take it one day at a time. It's that simple for me. Today, my routine is get up in the morning and the first thing I do is want to check in with my higher power. You know, the first thing, before I even talk to my husband, I want to talk to my higher power, and he would want me to talk to my higher power, too. So I do that, and it gets me through my day. You know, it keeps me sober. It keeps me the right size. You know, it keeps me humble. And I'm really grateful for that. I make my meetings still. I work steps with others. I work whole new rounds of steps for myself still. You know, there's a lot of different areas and avenues that this whole 12-step AA is the mother program. There's so much more. You know, I got involved with service. Service has been my saving grace. Because when times I don't want to go to a meeting and I have a service position, better believe I'm there. And better believe I stay sober another day. No matter how I feel, you know, and those are the things that keep me going. And it sounds, I had to learn from it myself. I love taking it from other people, but at the same time, you know what? I deserve to prove it to myself. I deserve to prove it to myself that I could do this program. What was stopping me? Like, why not? My life couldn't get any worse. They told me if I wanted all that misery, that I could pick it up at the door where I left it when I walked in. And I haven't wanted to pick it back up. I've been wanting to continue to go forward with my life. And, you know, I've been through a lot of the trials in sobriety, too. I had a fight with my son's dad in court a few times, more than 3 times. And I stayed sober through that. I didn't want to reach out and touch him. I didn't want to call whoever I needed to call on him. I stayed sober through it. You know, I really did. I took it one day at a time. I was at my meeting. I was at my meeting and had to give it to God. No matter how mad I got, I was still at a meeting. Shared it at a meeting. Dumped it out at a meeting. Made my service position. Stayed sober another day. And took it one day at a time. You know, and continue to try to apply these principles. Because it's one thing to stay abstinent from something, but it's a whole other thing applying these steps to your life. That's the part that makes you grow. What's made me grow. My higher power has a sense of humor and puts me in situations where I have to do things that I don't want to do. But that just tells me that the program's working for me today. And for that, I'm grateful. You know, I never there's been a time when that it wasn't my higher power, that he didn't see me through it, that I didn't learn, that I didn't grow through it. And everything that I've been through in my sobriety has really become an asset to me. You know, I've been through, like, just a lot. Marital issues. I've been through different sponsee stuff, you know, taking ownership and all that fun stuff and codependency stuff, Al-Anon stuff. I've been through, all of these little trials and tribulations throughout this little 5 years compared to some people in here, you know. But I'm really grateful for those things because I really got to learn how to surrender my things to my higher power in other areas. And I learned how to ask for help in other areas that wasn't just alcoholism, you know. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You know, for a while I thought that AA would cure everything, and I realized that it doesn't, that I have to continue to grow, that I know when I'm becoming stagnant. I know when I'm starting to run on self-will, because life still gets unmanageable. It can get unmanageable at times, and it could be just as unmanageable as it was when I was out there. And I don't want to live that way. I didn't come this far to, like, live sober that way. If I wanted to live that way, I could just go backwards and do that. And I'd rather not. I'd rather just stay in the program and continue to, like, learn and grow, because life is great. I got to drive off the lot in a brand new car, 2018, like, Chevy Malibu, in my sobriety. And, like, I'm the type of girl that never would have dreamed of doing none of that. Like, I would be trying to buy a car used, or so I don't have car payments. But I mean, that feeling of being responsible financially and being able to do these things, those are those little promises, you know. I've always been wanting to do this H&I thing, and it's so funny because I've been wanting to do this H&I thing, and I asked too soon. I asked, like, when I was a year sober or so, and I wasn't able to, and I asked again after I came up on 4 years. I was coming up on 5. Like, maybe it's time now, you know, because I always want to share. I want to reach the person that is in the seat that I sat in. I want to give you what I have. I want you to know that you can make it through, that you could have it just as much as anybody else in this room, that you earned your seat just as much as anybody else, and that if you follow these steps, you could be right up there too, you know. And I used to always, like, imagine that moment when I would see people at birthday meetings, you know, when they're blowing out all their 20-year candles, their 40-year candles, and I'm like, damn, like, how do they do that? Like, could I get that? Like, what are you doing that you're doing? Like, let me know, what is your secret, because I need to try whatever you're doing. And it has worked for me. And so I started this process of trying to go to H&I, and in the meantime, I applied for a job working out at a prison as a counselor, and I just recently got told that I was hired out there. So that's all the results of the program. You know, I get to carry the message today. Either way, I get to take it in there. You know, it's just a special place to me. I know how much I needed that when I was in that situation, and just to have the opportunity to do that is more than I could ask for. It gives more back to me in return than anything that I've given. I'm truly grateful today. I still have to take it one day at a time, and take my meeting and do my thing and do my service position, and I stay in service. You know, if I'm coming up on my service position, I'm looking for another service position to get into, because general service, there's young people service, there's, you know, secretary, greeters, coffee makers, treasurers, all of these positions that help us stay sober. They help me stay sober. They give me responsibility. That it makes me feel like I'm responsible for this thing too, you know. And that makes me feel good. And I don't know. I'm just really grateful to have this opportunity to come share a little bit of myself with you guys. I was really nervous when I was on my way over here. I knew for a few weeks that I was going to come share over here, and they didn't bother me, but when today came, I was like, oh shit, what am I going to say? 45 minutes. No, but it wasn't that bad. It was cool. It wasn't as bad as I thought. Yeah, so I'm really grateful to be here, and to all the newcomers out there, please just, like, take it from me. Like, you don't have to keep going back out there and going through all that, you know, because it does pick back up right where you left off, and it is always worse than what it was when you left off. And with that, I'll stay.